ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗುಂ ಹವಾಮಹೇ ಕವಿಂ ಕವೀನಾಮುಪಮಶ್ರವಸ್ತಮಂ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠರಾಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಸ್ಪತ ಆನಶೃಣ್ವನ್ ಋತಿಭಿಃ ಸೀದಸಾತನಂ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಗಣಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾವವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. Sit quietly for one or two minutes. ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. So very good to see everybody. Glad you're here for this class. It's right here, the spotlight. I was in the wrong place there. I haven't seen it yet. So, very nice occasion we get to start. New text, new year, new text. Like this. So, this text, Vakya Vritti, it's considered to be by Adi Guru Shankaracharya. There are quite a few texts and hymns and so forth that they attribute to Adi Guru Shankaracharya, and many of them were written later by some other acharya, because what happens is there are a few different marks, like four or five in India, where there's the Shankaracharya, who's, they call the Shankaracharya, is the head of the monastery, like this, head of that. So what happens is many things over the years are written by others and attributed. But this one, from scholars, that, you know, different scholars, they do consider it as by Adi Guru Shankara himself. There's one text called Upadesha Sahasri, much larger text. So just a bit of a cough today. So there, it's discussing the same subject matter, but much lengthier. Here, it's much shorter. So this is what's actually in the text here. And actually, the text itself, Vritti, does, one of the meanings is a brief commentary. So this is a brief commentary, 53 verses, on a very, the crux of Vedanta, like this. So this is one of the, so Vritti, Vyakhyana is a much more elaborate commentary. So in the other text, I think the chapter is called Tattvamasi Prakarana, something like this, where it's much more elaborate. Those who are still in the classes during the pandemic, just maybe some people left here in Zoom, then we studied very, very briefly, just introduced some of the Mahavakyas, and this was in the in the text Panchadashi, one chapter. I talked about that. Mahavakya Prakarana or something like this, very briefly. Here it's more in detail. So what happens, the name of the text then, Vakya means the Mahavakya. What happens is you have a Mahavakya is a sentence from the Upanishads which is pointing out Aikyam, the oneness. And the oneness now pointing out there is oneness. What do you mean there is oneness? So points out there is oneness between what and what, like this. Okay. In this way. So of course here it's going to be Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, between the individual, you, and the totality, that there is oneness, there isn't a separation. Because that's the whole issue that we talk about. There's a separation, and that is what's causing all of my issues, all the problems. This is what is discussed. So the Mahavakya is pointing out this unity. So what happens is there are four very well-known ones from the Upanishads, and the reason that they're very well-known, they were pulled out in order to show in the four Vedas, which there are different Upanishads and different Vedas, 10 which we call the major Upanishads. The reason they're called the major Upanishads is firstly, that these 10 were commented on by Adi Guru Shankara, number one. Number two is that the general vision of what Vedanta is talking about, by studying them, we can get all the different angles to help us to have a clear vision of it. And the third reason is when somebody studies, if they study Upanishads, later they study Brahma Sutras. Brahma Sutras is just discussing what was in Upanishads. So here you have enough material for the Brahma Sutra as well, for these reasons. So what happens then is, four Vedas, so one from each Veda, that from one Upanishad, each Veda was taken out. So here, so people say there are four Mahavakyas. It's not true, there are four Mahavakyas, there are numerous ones in the Upanishads, but four well-known ones. And the one discussed here is the most well-known one, Tattvamasi. So here, the vakya means of discussing tattvamasi. The others are pointing out the same. Tattvamasi, we say upadesha. It's upadesha mahavakya because teacher says tattvamasi, you're that. Tattvamasi, he shweta keto, something like this, in the certain section, Chandogya Upanishad, where this comes from. Just last year, Swami Tatpirangaji taught a course on this, on that section from the Upanishad. So this is, but then of course, you switch it to I am that, aham brahmasmi, a different one from a different Upanishad like this. So, now what happens is, meaning these two are the same, so it's kind of like an equation. Now, if you have an equation and you say 2 equals 2, what kind of equation is it? Right? You don't need an equation for that. Right? It's obvious. So an equation won't be obvious. Now, if the equation is 2 equals 5, then now you have a problem like this, because that's not really an equation, right, like this. So actually, I've seen a few of these clips, very funny, in Canada, some show that they do some political satire called An Hour Has 22 Minutes. So like this, an hour is 22 minutes. It doesn't work, right? So an equation will be that they're the same, but it's not obvious. Otherwise, you don't need the equation. So here it's an equation, it's not obvious. So then we need to look into it in order to see why is it an equation? Why are the two things the same? If you look at the two sides, it's not obvious. They seem very different, so we have to look into it. So this Mahavakya is like that, and it points that out. So all the Upanishads, they're teaching different things in order to get to this crux. That's the crux. It's called Tatparya. Tatparya, meaning the essence. What is it that's being pointed out? So, and then Vritti, as we said, Vritti will have two meanings here that can be used. One, as we said, is a short explanation, right? A short commentary on it, in this way. So this is a short commentary on Tattvamasi. But then it also has another meaning, and the other meaning is a method by which you understand what is being conveyed by a sentence like this. There are different ways when somebody is said, there are various ways, two main ways that you're going to decipher what it means. Because if you think about it, you hear something and then the mind, you know, has to understand it. So it deciphers it somehow like this. This is how it is. That's the way our mind works. The machines, you know, our phones, etc., all this technology is using, they're seeing how our mind works and they'll do something similar. It's not that something is made out of the blue like this, right? So the first of these two is the primary meaning, right? This is mukhya vritti. The primary meaning, somebody says, you know, I live in Fremont. So Fremont, right? That's very simple. You just take this. I live in this house. There's no question about that. It's a very simple and clear, this is what it means, right? So primary meaning, a lot of what we say is just primary meaning like this. The other thing is, sometimes the primary meaning, the direct meaning, doesn't make sense. And then you take what's called the secondary meaning, or lakshana vritti. This is the, an implied meaning. It's not the meaning of the word, but it implies something else in this way. Like, for instance, sometimes in the paper they'll write about yesterday there was some sports event, the home team got thrashed by the guest team. So the guest team didn't come and beat up the home team. Sometimes it happens in sports, unfortunately, but that's not what they meant in there. So thrashed in this way, that's not a means. You take a secondary meaning that the home team didn't play as well, the other one won by a lot, like this, right? In this way. This person is the pillar of the community. The same thing. You don't take the primary meaning, you take the secondary meaning. So in this way. So secondary meaning is taken in many cases like this. So, and we do it naturally all the time, depends on the context, like this, we know how to use it. So here, of course, also, the vakya, you can't take the primary meaning of tattvamasi, you, this individual who was born in this state, and have these abilities, and have this limited body, this mind that can do so much, you are the same as the totality. And of course, that the primary meaning really does not seem to make sense, right? So meaning, the secondary meaning needs to be looked into. So this is this whole thing that is discussing about the secondary, because that's how we look into it. So this is what this text is going to be about. So you have the mukhya vritti and the lakshana vritti, the implied and the direct, or primary and secondary, like this, lakshana is secondary, the implied. So the rule of thumb in general, the primary doesn't work, you go to secondary. This is really how it is. And in general, use in language, and in Veda, that's how it is. In Veda, it's usually like that. And in the Veda, usually the Karmakanda, you have in Karmakanda, where it tells about rituals and about do's and don'ts, etc., there it'll usually be primary meaning, because do a ritual like this, right? Offer this. Or you should, you know, when you do that, you should have certain restriction, whatever. So you do, it's not a secondary meaning like this. But then when you come to Upanishad, it's going to be now discussing in this. This will be secondary meaning, because primary meaning doesn't stand, okay? So like this. So this is a little bit in general about this text. Actually, this text, a little more than 10 years ago, we had in the class here with Vijay Kapoorji. So it's nice I'm coming back to it. It's so long before that the details of it, I don't know from that, so I'm happy to be restudying and everything. But some of the texts I'd actually gone through a class with, some of them, you know, you do it. Nowadays, you don't sit with the teacher, you sit with the recording. With the teacher, it's the best. But when you don't have, then now we have these other options as well, like this. So that being said, let us go into it, starting with the first verse here. Read slowly. Saragastiti
Saragastiti
Pralaya hetum
Achintya shaktim
Vishveshwaram
Vidita vishwam
Anantamurtim
Nirmukta bandhanam
Apara sukham burashim
Shri vallabham
Vimalabodhaghanam
Namami.
So this is prayer at the beginning of the text. We'll read the translation, but again, one thing with translation, it can only give a little bit. That's why we discuss it, because we have so many other meanings aspects with it. So the translation, actually, this booklet is Vijay Kapoorji, our teacher, he had put it together. My salutations to Lord Vishnu, the consort of Lakshmi, whose nature is pure consciousness knowledge, untouched by ignorance, free of any bondage, who has unimaginable power, and is the cause of the manifestation, sustenance, and dissolution, and therefore is the Lord of the entire universe, who is all-knowing and has attained endless forms and is boundless ocean of joy. Somehow what the beginning, it says also Mangalam here, Mangalacharam, you can say the prayer at the beginning, both to bring our attention to, there can be obstacles, everything we pray, Ishwara, the God will help, you know, facilitate that I can complete the study, learn from it, go deeper into it, all these things we can say for this. And also points out the teachings as well. The teachings themselves are embedded within this as well. It's not just a prayer. Now, a lot of time a prayer is, we're requesting something, right? So many prayers are, please do this, please do that, please protect. Here, there's nothing. I salute. Finished. Namami, this one. Namami, I salute, nothing else. So there isn't a request on this, because what happens, the prayers that please protect and please help me, this, two things that it does. One thing is that also it solidifies more my limitation, because I'm limited, I can't do, so please you help me. That's one thing. It helps to validate it. And that's why we want to validate that. We want to look beyond that. So that's one thing. And the second thing also, that same thing, it creates more of a distance between me and between the Ishwara, the God I'm praying to. So now I'm also helping to validate that separateness as well. We're here. The whole text is about tattvamasi, you are that. So how can the prayer be contrary to that? It would be very strange that it would be a contrary thing. Okay. In this way. So this is a little different. Now, here, Namami, I salute, right? So one thing is, the salutation, you can't, salutation is to something else, of course. So salutation, so you'll say, well, how is that, why Namami, why salutation? Well, one thing is, it's preliminary, where eventually, as long as I'm seeing there's something separate, yes, so I salute that one, and slowly when I see that there's no separation, that's not needed anymore. Who am I going to salute then? Right. So, preliminary thing. There's a term that was given, that they said about it, it's Abheda Garbha Namaskara. The salutation, bringing you towards the non-separateness like this. So this is how we can say the namaskara here. Now also, namami, I salute. The etymology of this, in English we say my or my. In Sanskrit, me or mama, similar, right? Me, my. Name, So namamaraname. Those who are familiar with some Hindu rituals, then they do in certain yajna or homa, they offer to the fire, and it says idam namama, idam magnaye, idam namama, right? This is meant for Agni, this is not mine. So, salutation, what do I mean by salutation then? So, not mine. So that one is offered to the fire, offers something to the fire, it's not mine. So whatever is offered, it's not mine. So then namami, what is mine? I surrender everything, not mine. So I surrender, so that's not mine. What is, this is actually, if you go to Ishavasya Upanishad, there in the first verse it also says, Kastya Swit Dhanam, within the first part of the first verse, it's saying don't be attached to, don't be attached to any wealth, any possession, but then Kasya Swit Dhanam can also be a question, so whose wealth is it? You have some things, whose is it? Is it yours? I have my house, I say my house, what do you mean it's yours? What makes it yours? Some thought, an idea makes it yours, it's just an idea, right? Because somehow you've come in contact with it, it'll be for some time, somehow eventually it won't be there. Right? There's no my, what it, you can't take anything as yours like this. So that's where the namami also has this aspect, that it's also, you can say a surrender, but really an understanding in the end that what is mine, like this. So in any case, so what is this salutation to over here? Right? Sarga stiti pralaya hetum. So who is this Ishvara, who is the one behind everything? It is the cause of the creation, preservation, dissolution of everything, like this. We say Brahman is the upadana karanam, the material cause of the world, like this. Nimitta karanam as well, the intelligent cause, but here let's just say from the upadana karanam, from the material cause, everything is made out of that. So everything here is that Brahman. So everything here, meaning everything including your fingers too, are included. They're not separate, right? Your body, your mind, it's all included. It's not separate from the creation. Can you separate? Can you separate yourself from the creation? Let's see, take yourself out. To separate from the creation, you have to leave the body, mind, everything behind, right? Only everything, whatever belongs to the creation, Atman, Atma Viveka, then you've can separate yourself from creation, but you can't take any, the moment you take anything from it, you haven't separated like this. So this is the, the whole thing, this Ishvara or Brahman is the cause, everything comes from it, sustained by, and goes back to it like this. That's what a material cause is. If you have a pot, it came out of clay, it exists in clay, it'll go back into clay, right? You have a wave, it came out of water, exists in water, goes out of water, like this. If you have a snake, it came out of the rope, apparently, seemed to be in the rope, and it disappeared again, well, the rope is there, so we went back to the rope. So it didn't really come or go like this. So everything came from Brahman, but everything really is Brahman, is what we eventually will look at and see. But first of all, earlier on we say, okay, the cause of everything, manifested in through everything, as a stepping stone to eventually to negate, and there's only that Brahman, like this. So this is, now, okay, so how is it this whole universe can come out of this Brahman? And then we'll say, achintya shaktim, it'll have the immeasurable power you can't even imagine. Just imagine the power, you know, of the sun, the power of the galaxy. We can't imagine. You know, 100, 1,000, maybe we can imagine. 1,000,000, mind can't comprehend. And what is it, 100 billion stars in our galaxy, something like this last we counted, right? Who counted last? I don't know, anybody counted? We can't even comprehend. Imagine the power that we can't, so imagine the whole power behind everything. Unbelievable. So you need that power for this. But there's one thing though also about it. Achintya shaktim, you can't comprehend, think of it. Now the power of creation is Maya, Maya Shakti. And Maya Shakti, what's said about it, is anirvachaniyam. You cannot define it. Because in general you'll say, okay, is Maya Shakti, the snake, is it real or unreal? Well, the snake is unreal because there was nothing, you know, because it wasn't there. But you saw something, so something was there. So you can't say it's real, because if it were real, then you could bring it here and show it to us, do a show and tell, say, here's the snake I found yesterday evening when it was dark. But you can't, because it's not an object, so you can't say it's real. But then you can't say, just put it totally in the unreal pile, because you saw something there. There was something there. So Maya Shakti meaning, you can't, because you can't really categorize. You can't put it in this bucket or that bucket in that way. So where are you going? Because an appearance means it's a mixture between a miscomprehension and comprehension, like this. This is the issue. So we see the world, but it's really the Brahman, right? So we're seeing real, but we're seeing it through and not unclarity, because I put so many of my ideas on it. Stop putting the ideas on, and then we see. But you know, it's very hard not to put my ideas on, but takes a little bit of insight like this. So this achintya shaktim is a subtler meaning of it. And Vishwa Ishwaram, the overlord of all, who's controller of all. Now actually there's a very interesting thing. When you talk about the God, Ishwara means the Lord, overlord, right? Like this. Okay, so you say there's this one entity if you want. Entity, really, the thing is, people think of an entity, so we see here, well here, there's a big company, there's a boss in charge, and the boss has their own special office, and they're separate, so the God must be sitting somewhere else. Like in old times, the king had their own palace, so there must be some heaven that the God is there and we're here, and the God is supervising. But the thing is, then the God is, that makes the God some sort of entity like this. So a lot of times in Vedanta, what's talked about is, okay, where, how is everything being controlled, not from outside, but from within? Antaryami. What is making you function is that, but it's from within you. Is there something outside of you doing it? You know, like your phone has to have a connection, has to actually to download, things are coming from outside for it to function. You know, the computer is plugged in, it needs electricity to power it in this way. Do I need something from outside to make me go? No, it's all within me in this way. So in this way, the behind everything, but from within. It's not something outside pushing the buttons. Within everything. The laws of nature working within each and everything. Like this. Renek is Vishweshwaram. And then Vidita, Vishwam, knowing everything. Sarvagya, all-knowing. Because what cannot be known to the universal consciousness, everything within it. You have your dream world, right? What do you not know of your dream world? You'll say, well, there was a tree in the dream world on a hill, but what was behind the hill, I don't know. Did behind the hill exist in your dream? It didn't exist. If it existed in your dream, meaning you know it too, whatever was in the dream world, everything you know, because it was all, you knew the whole thing. So same way, universal consciousness, everything is from that. So it has full knowledge of everything. What can it not know? It is the knowingness itself in this way. Okay. Anantamurtim has endless forms, right? Because all forms belong to that. What form does the gold have? Tell me which form. List the forms. You cannot get to the end of the forms, right? because how many different kinds, you know, you go in, how many different jewelries, how many different this, you cannot, and it's always coming up with new ideas, new things, so endless forms, but they all belong to the same substance. So all forms belong to that, right? What form doesn't belong to the substance of everything? Like this. The Sat, the Brahman, all forms belong to that. Okay? Nirmukta bandhanam, free from all bandhas, every kind of bondage, free from that. Because the thing is, anything that can bind you, how can it bind the adhishtana, the substratum? Right? When you see the movie, the characters go through so many things, so many plots, so many complications. Is the light bound by any, the projector light, bound by any of those things? Tell me one thing the light was bound, the projector light was bound from the movie story. Nothing, can't be bound by anything, right? So, not bound by anything. Now, when you have bandhana, two things are somehow connected. This is what happens. Two things are connected. So one kind of connection is I have the book sitting here on the table. That's some sort of connection, right? The book that is here, it's sitting on the table, so they're connected, otherwise it wouldn't sit there. So they're touching each other. That's one kind of connection. Okay, very good. Other kind of connection is that this mug is, what is this? Dark pink, might be some other name for it, specific color. I'm sure they're very specific names that I don't know. But somebody will come and say, no, it's not that, it's whatever, like this. So they're connected in this way too, right? They're connected because, but then it can become disconnected. You can scrape it off or you can color something else, so it's possible to change it. So this is another one where they're really intermixed like this. There's some connection there. Then there's one other kind, which is called adhyasika, which is superimposed, which is what is the connection between the, well here let's say like this, even before snake and rope, you have a flag and you have a country. You see the flag, you remember the country. What do you mean? What's the connection? You superimpose the idea. This flag belongs to this country, it's my country, my flag. Right? It's just a superimposition. There's no connection at all between the two. Most American flags probably have a little thing on the corner saying made in China. Probably most of the flags in the world say made in China, so they should all be Chinese flags, right? Like this. The funny thing is that the hats, MAGA hats, the Make America Great, do everything here, made in China. Then when Biden ran against Trump, they asked somebody in China, who do you think will win? Biden's going to win. Why? We're making more hats of his hats. But that's the side thing. In any case, the superimposed idea. So the snake on the snake on the rope is a superimposed idea. The flag and country, yeah, we see it very clearly if we think about it. So the snake rope is a superimposed, so the connection between two things can also be just superimposed, like this. So now, if the connection is of one of the first two kinds, between Atma and Atma, between, you know, myself, my true self, and other things, like for instance, I have sorrow, right? I have difficulties, whatever it is. If the connection is of the first kind or the second kind, meaning some action has to be done that will fix it. It fixes, you know, superficially, but doesn't go to the root of the problem. So it can maybe fix certain things, but doesn't fix the root problem. Excuse me. So those, meaning they don't fix it. But those action is needed. I understand that in order to use the table for something else, I need to move the book off of the table. Just by understanding it, it's not going to move the book from the table, right? For that action is needed. I understand that the paint here, if I want a different color, I have to get a different color and paint and it'll change. Then the connection, this color, and this will be gone, where I have to sand it off. Understanding doesn't do it. So their action is needed. For that action is needed, no problem. But now, I say, okay, the snake and the rope. I'm going to do some action in order to separate the two. So actually they say that three people saw the snake, right? So the three saw the snake. So the first one went to get a stick, said, I'm going to beat that snake so it doesn't bite anybody, right? This is one guy who said, this is what I'm going to do. Second one starts saying prayers. Know some special mantras to help to, you know, pacify the snake. So this one wants to do this. Then the third one says, just a minute, you guys, you know, what you can, very good ideas, yeah, but just 1 minute. What, just, do any of you have a flashlight? They say, what are you, in the 1980s, wave our phone, we have the light on. So they put on the light, and then they see. So the first one is karmi, somebody wants to do by action. Second one, upasaka, one wants to do by prayer and meditation list. Third one is vedanti, looking into. So for the snake, the action is not going to get rid of it, right? Only the understanding. So for the adhyasika, the understanding. So here, to correct this seeming connection, you can't do it by any other way. You can only do it by understanding. Misunderstanding myself, only understanding is going to fix it. You try anything else and that won't fix the problem, right? So this is where this, of course, that means there never was nimukta bandhanam, free from all of these, from all bondages, all connections, attachments. The Brahman is the Atma too, because we're talking about Brahman Atma, like this. So totally free from this. Could never bound. If it could be bound, meaning it had to be some sort of object. To be an object means that can't be the substratum of everything. It doesn't make sense. So that's why it has to be totally free from this. Okay? If the God lives in a certain place in Vaikuntha or something, how can the God be free? The God now is limited. The poor God, you say, no, you have to stay there like this. You're not... There's the hell, you're not allowed in the hell, you don't have a visa for there, you have a visa just for heaven. And you can come visit the world sometimes. You can be in this temple, but not in the other places. Like this. So, you go to the temple, you're all powerful, you're present in everything in this, but then you go outside, no, but not here. You know, child's play, if you want, right? So like this, nimukta bandham apara sukhamburashim. This is the shoreless ocean of happiness or bliss. Because usually we think of things limited. Some limited, but unlimited. We'll go into in a few minutes on that, okay? Let's be patient with it. We'll get to that. Now, Shri Vallabham. Shri Vallabham here. So, as it said in the translation, you could say consort of Lakshmi, but consort of Lakshmi doesn't really seem to fit in with everything else here. We're talking about all forms, but you're the consort of Lakshmi. Now you're Vishnu with this form. So that doesn't really seem to fit in here. So some other meanings have to be used. It's not going to be enough. And you'll see in the next verse, it'll clarify why we don't look at it like this. You know, if you just see that word, okay. So in any case, so what happens is the one thing actually, Vallabham can also be Ganesha. So can be Sri Ganesha. So beginning auspiciousness, salutation of Ganesha, you can do that if you want. But what happens also here is the Sri is Lakshmi, meaning the whole Maya, whole universe, whole manifest world. And Vallabha, one who likes to enjoy. He enjoys, the Brahman enjoys itself through the Maya. Reflects, so meaning then reflects through the Maya, reflects through everything. You have the name and form, right? Name and form, the Sat is behind it. The consort is always present with the other one, right? Always comes together. So you have the whole manifest world, Nama Rupa, and then you have the Sat there too. Because wherever there is Nama Rupa, the Sat is there. Wherever there's the appearance, the substance is there too. Right? You can't have them separate. So what happens is the manifest world, name and form is the appearance, the substance is Sat, is Brahman. So this is more how you can, a better way to see this for what's being discussed in this text and in this mantra itself, like this, not mantra, in this verse itself. Okay? Shri Vallabham, like this. So the Brahman manifests in this way. Let's see here. Something else here with it. No, it's not. So this is a better way to see it then. They're always together. So one of the that one verse we had in the Diriktesha Viveka was saying, let's see if it comes to my mind, Asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyam cha panchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam adyatrayam brahma rupam something tato dvayam jagat rupam tato dvayam, something like this, said everything in the world has five aspects, asti bhati priyam sachidananda and nama and rupa. So nama and rupa belong to the world, asti bhati priyam, the sachidananda belongs to Brahman. So that's in and through everything. The substance is there, and then the appearance is there. So put the appearance aside, it's the substance. I want to see it. To see it, you need some form. You can't see it without the form. So how will I know it? Well, okay, that's why we're studying these things. Because you can't know it as an object. That's why to know God, you cannot know it. You can only know it as yourself. Because anything other than yourself means it became anatma, means it's not some sort of nama-rupa. Meaning rupa, form, or form can also be as sound, or as touch, or as thought, or as feeling. All those things are something I experienced like this. So meaning it's now became the other. The other, now it's nama-rupa. So that's why it's not possible other than as myself. Okay? And then Vimala Bodhaganam. Bodha is knowledge, knowingness. Gana is a crystal, so crystallized. And Vimala is the spotless, without any contamination, right? Like this. So Vimala Bodhaganam is going to be crystallized, unalloyed knowingness. So chit in this way. Because the pure chit, pure knowingness, is like pure light. It just is light. And interesting thing is when you have a crystal, meaning if I have sugar water and you drain the water, you get the sugar crystal. Now it's just sugar, the liquid has been taken out. So the crystal means it's just that. Now it's going to be homogeneous. So the contamination means something else. I know something. I know something specific that's a contamination, something other than knowingness is there. Some limitation has been put on the knowingness. But just the pure knowingness, it's pure chit, it's not contaminated by any of this. So this one that is being saluted also is the this one, Vimala Bodhaganam, the pure chit, pure knowingness. Not knowing of a specific thing. Okay? Well, time goes on. So this is citation to this one. Now, what happens though is we can say salutation to that one, but that one is not separate from myself, as Tattvamasi is going to be pointing out. So I can think of something out there, but it reflects in me as well. So the sarakastiti pralayahetu, the cause of the creation, manifestation, and sustenance, and the dissolution. I wake up in the morning. Now I start my day. Now everything that I experience, I'm creating. I'm creating, oh, this is a very wonderful start of the day. No, it's not so good, whatever. Right? I'm very excited about it. Everything I'm putting my ideas on, am I not creating my world that way? I'm creating all my ideas, my world. I'm putting all the ideas like this, and I'm helping to maintain them. And then I get tired, I doze off, I'm resolving. So everything then, coming out of me, going back into me, I'm sustaining my idea of the world. It's who can do it other than you? Who can make your world other than you? Like this. And then, achintya shaktim, you know, what power I have to do it. You can't imagine what power you have to do it. And this where, and Vishveshwaram also, you're master of your world. Vivita Vishwam, you know everything. Is there anything, every experience you know? Vidita Vishwam and also Shri Vallabham going with that. What happens is every single experience you have, you're there in the experience. You're in and through the experience, right? You say other, but other meaning my experience is within my experience. So I see you. So without me, the awareness there, where would it be? It's like reflected within my awareness, like looking into the mirror or like the dream. Because the dream, the difference of the dream, you came in my dream, so I projected you from my mind. You came in the waking, you came in through my vision, right? Then the rest of it are my ideas. The only difference is once it appeared from the eyes, when it appeared from the mind. But then the rest of it, it's within my awareness. Otherwise, it's the same. So in this way, it's everything. What is outside of your awareness? Everything within your awareness. So everything is you plus some idea, like this. So this is how the Vishveshwaram, master of everything, or Sri Vallabham, you're connected. Everything is part of your experience. In this way, you see yourself as a reflection. Vidita Vishwam, you know everything within your experiences. Ananta Murtim, how many forms, how many experiences, endless, the name, endless forms. Nirmukta Bandhanam, and you're free from you're really free from your sorrows, from your limitation. You just take yourself to be limited by them. And Apara Sukham Budashim, and it's pure. Unalloyed happiness, unalloyed bliss, right? What happens is, when I take myself as something limited, then yes, then there's going to be difficulty and pain, and so are all these. So if that's the base, then the base is I'm a limited person, suffering person, and bound person, and I managed to have some moments of happiness, right? Some moments I get a small break from it. The worldly way is the happiness is a small break between suffering, between limitation. Like this, that's the worldly way, right? Because how much can you already have? Like this. So people want to get more. Okay, instead of having my 5%, I got to 7% at all. Is that wonderful? Like there's this one thing. It's an interesting idea, not a bad idea, but from when you look deeper, it's not what we're looking for. There was some meditation idea like this that people got into. It was, how did they call it? Like a little bit more happy, like I don't remember this, 1% or the 5% happy or something like this is the, I forget the exact term they use for it. So somebody said, oh, they're doing it, it's very nice. So I said to them, why do you want just the 1%? 100%, what's this? Yeah, but we start with small steps, this, so at least people start. But eventually to say, why should I? Is that all that I want? Then why not? So in any case, so, but the base, but we say, no, that's not your base. Look at your base. When you drop everything, you doze off to sleep, where's your limitation? Ananda, Anandamaya Kosha, your deep sleep. Oh, how wonderful. Because you dropped everything. So when I drop all the limited ideas, where's the limitation? Like an ocean without a shore. How wonderful it is. That's why we don't want to come out. Oh, it's so nice. Let me sleep a little more because it's so wonderful. But really what it is, I put everything aside. I dropped all the extraneous things and that's it. So the base is really not the limited person, but that's the base in this way. How can the limited person, experience this? It could, because it's limited, but it couldn't be. It has to be that it's the other way around. That's the base. And the sorrow is something will appear for some time, it'll go. Right? Anything just comes to some time, that's the difference, yeah. Something appears a little while, let it be, it'll go, be gone soon. You know, like small wave in the ocean. What's the wave for the ocean? Nothing. Okay. And Vimala Bodhaganam, and I am the pure knowingness, pure chit, like this. Anything else just appears for a few moments, and the chit then goes. Momentary, literally every cognition is momentary, just a flat flicker, and then we take it as real, because a bunch of them are there. And if you think about it, one flicker is there, comes and goes, and so it's momentary. But we take a batch of momentary ones, and then we keep seeing that, or we keep thinking that. So the more we think in this, the more it seems to be more and more real to us. Right? So because there are many of them, we take it as real. But the thing is, that's why we have to look into it, Vedanta, we look into it closely. We give a reality from a batch of momentary things that are just appearing, you know, this moment. So how can that be the reality? We know by physics, we're very smart now because the scientist said that, you know, all the particles, it's mostly space, particles is jumping in and out of existence every moment, so that's what's building all this. So physically, where's your world? And thoughts, it's also just pulsations. Thought, where's my thought world? But we take it as reality. I'm aware, though, is always there, conscious, impersonal awareness, always there. No, but there's just phenomena in the brain, we say. Mm-hmm. How come it's always there then? How come it never stops? How come everything else in the brain is changing every moment, in your experience, changing, but not this? So that's why this is unalloyed, it's chit. So here it's showing you're the sat, the base of everything, everything made out of that, you're the chit, you're the ananda in this way, in this verse saying. That's the totality and that's you. So the beginning, just the prayer in the beginning is saying salutation to that which I am, and with the, you know, I will look into it and see beyond just these few different misnomers, and I should be able to see for myself like this. I didn't think it would take so long for this one, for this verse, like this. Let's see. Let's just read the next one, and next week we'll go into it. Next one is also continuation. This was salutation to Ishvara, or to the totality. Now next one, we give salutation to Guru. Yasya prasadat.
Yasya prasadat.
Ahameva Vishnura.
Ahameva Vishnura.
Mayeva sarvam.
Mayeva sarvam.
Parikalpitam cha.
Parikalpitam cha.
Itam vijanami.
Itam vijanami.
sadatmarupam
sadatmarupam
tasyangripadmam
tasyangripadmam
pranatosmi nityam
pranatosmi nityam.
I always bow to the lotus feet of my teacher, by whose grace I know that my real nature is none other than Vishnu, and that the entire phenomenal universe is superimposed on me alone. Hence here, you'll say, where's this idea come that Shri Vallabham is not just this? Well, I'm that Vishnu, meaning it has to be. And how is it that everything, first verse, you say is you also not just the God? Well, Ameva Vishnu, like this. So this is, so you connect the second verse. This is what happens also. In Gita, a lot of times people take one verse and quote, oh, look, it's saying this, right? But the thing is, you have to take the whole context, because otherwise, it's like you take out of somebody's doing a whole equation or something, take one thing out. They take a clip out in the news sometimes. They take a clip and they quote the, and they put that clip of person talking for 10, 15 seconds. And the thing is, they really took it totally out of context then. So what's the whole thing they said? So here also, everything connected. That's a bit of a side then. So here, the person who's saying is, okay, by the grace of Gurudev, I've known this. And so the whole text then is about that, what they have known in this way. So, yasya prasadat, by the grace of the Guru. Now, grace of the Guru, if you think of it, what do you mean by grace of Guru here? Arjuna had the problem, the human problem, we all have the human problem, that's came to Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna said, you're my good friend and everything this. So if Shri Krishna could just bless him, take a peacock feather and hit him on the head, as some people like to joke about, we give him some mantra and that's, and then he'll say the mantra, and then he wouldn't have done that. No, he taught him instead. And he asked questions, he taught, explained, to clarify, and then the problem was gone. So meaning that what did he get from Shri Krishna? He discussed and understood the understanding like this. Because again, the superimposed problem has to be fixed by understanding. The superimposed problem, katasun or katasuncha nanushochanti panditaha, first teaching of Shri Krishna in the 11th verse, second chapter where he starts, says everything. Everything, everybody comes and goes. Whatever comes now, comes today, is gone tomorrow. That's just the way it is. So the wise people, why do they get hung up about it? It's here now means the fact that it appears here, it'll be gone soon. Right? So soon it'll be gone. So they understand that's just the changing. They understand, and how come they're not caught up in it? Because they know the unchanging. This is just like this. So here the thing is then, the prasada here, meaning that the teaching, clarity of teaching, and of course, some, you know, we have some blessing to sit and listen to these things, obviously. We have some blessing to have interest, and then we have to, the blessing also come that I have interest and I look into it, because shravanam is one thing. Well, shravana, putting myself in class is one thing. Shravanam is really looking at it, because the thing is, when you hear a word, there's the word, but then what it points to. This is one thing that they say, shravanam, when somebody is pointing to something, you don't just go by the word, but what it's pointing to. So shravanam helps to point towards this thing. Point towards yourself, not just some, connect some ideas and just, you know, make some concept, put in my brain. Yeah, some concepts are helpful, but then what is it pointing to? So sharavanam this, but then mananam, I need to reflect on it, look at it, churn it. This didn't make sense. Why is it like this? Ask about, consider, to make it clear. I have to meditate on it too, because my many other habits are pulling my attention. So in this way. So also the prasada, the blessing would be that I put the effort in like this, in this way. So, but the thing is, if I'm sincere, there's no reason why not. Since in the end, sincerity will probably be the biggest prasada, like this. So, and so by this, what did I get? Ameva Vishnu. I'm all-pervading. I'm not. Now the thing is, this is interesting. When we look at the God, if you take theological God, there is a Mr. Vishnu. And it says the Mr. Vishnu, there's a Mrs., so there's a Lakshmi, right? Like this. But really speaking, what does Vishnu mean? It means all-pervading. So how's that a Mr.? Right? So it's not, it's all-pervasive. And then what happens, then there's a Shiva. And then they'll say, well, I worship Shiva, I don't like this. I like Mr. Shiva, not Mr. Vishnu, like this, right? Now what happens is Shiva, auspiciousness. So all pervasive and auspiciousness, you're going to separate them now like this. So again, in this way, that's why when we look at these things, Amrayo Vishnu, meaning the all pervasive. I'm all pervasive one, like this. I'm not limited by anything, like this, right? And Mayeva Sarvam Parikalpitam, everything else I just superimpose on me. I have ideas, I put them on. Because think of it, when I drop my ideas of things, where's my limitation? I put my ideas on, I feel limited. When I don't put ideas on things, then where's the limitation? So everything then is superimposed on me. On me, the awareness, all the things are superimposed. This is what it's saying, so I understand this. It says, itam vijanami, this one I know well. Vija, I've clear vision of sat atma rupam. Actually here, for anybody with Sanskrit, it could be sada atma rupam, always. I understand I'm always in the form of atma. Or sat atma rupam is more correct, would be here. Sat atma rupam, what is my true form, true nature? It is sat. It is the one reality. So that's really sat atma rupam fits in better like this here. That's what I know. That's what the teacher pointed out. Sat atma rupam, I'm always that, but then always you might start, now time factor starts coming in. So sat atma rupam fits in here better. And tasya agrimam pranatosmi nityam, so I always remember, I always have salute the Guru's feet, remembering this, so saying in this way, the salutation to Guru. And one interesting thing like this is, in Vedanta then, the Guru points this out, so that I will know, I know myself. Now, once it's pointed out, is the Guru needed then? This in this Tattvamasi, in the Upanishad, there are different examples that are given in the teaching. So it's repeated, I think, 9 times. Different examples are given. So the last example talked about somebody was bound, lost somewhere, everything, whole story doesn't matter, and then the person wants to go home, right? They're in a foreign place, they don't have anything, they don't know how to go. And then what happens? So some stranger there says, yes, yes, you want to go, you want to get to your place, you have to walk this way for a few hours, and then, you know, then at that village you have to go in that direction. Now, the person will say, thank you very much. Now, will this stranger walk with that person for a few days to get back to the village? Point it out, now they know how to go, they'll get home. They follow what that stranger said, we'll get home. Nowadays, oh yeah, give me your number, we'll stay. Nowadays, when I was in Uttarakashi there, oh, give me your WhatsApp number. Some people that see you for a week in the ashram, this, what do they need WhatsApp number for? So this is one thing, is Vedanta Guru then points out. And if they point it out, you see, then the Guru, you don't have to carry the Guru with you. Because in the end, I know myself. So in the end, you're the proof for yourself. So that becomes like inner Guru if you want. Outer Guru is needed. But then after it's pointed out and clear, then their job is done, like this. So it's not that now I have to hang around their neck forever in this. That there can be external things, whatever people do is fine, but this is an important thing because it's not for building some other sort of relation, psychological dependence. Psychological dependence, then I'm becoming now dependent on another thing, Yeah, so I can salute Guru, salute the God. I can do this, and I can pray to that. I can out of reverence and everything, and see the God and Guru. That's fine. But then, but they're helping to point out that that's in me. Then what? So it doesn't mean reverence or Guru has to go away, but the understanding that what it's the teaching they're taught. Now, but the reality is that's the reality. Now I see it. So it's. One doesn't, not to become a follower, but one in order to know. Then you know you're finished. Somebody graduates from the university, they can visit the professor once in a while, send a Christmas card, whatever. But they don't have to just stay and hang around the professor like that. So this is what happens. Vedanta gurus like this, because it's for understanding in this way. We'll revisit a little bit more next time, because our time is gone. We have the clock too. We're timeless, but this is the class is in time. Our nature has nothing to do with it. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We'll have a few classes before we get to questions or so, or because we just started it, but then if there are questions come up and everything, you can always email, we can discuss later in the class or whatever, whichever way. So very good, so have a good week, and we'll continue next time.